Hello there, and welcome to the Palm and Pine Podcast. The boys are coming to you from their hidden camp, set deep in the Florida woods on the banks of the mystic Suwannee River. So let's take a moment and hear from the boys of old Florida.
All right, welcome back to the Palm and Pine Podcast. Ready to key up another great episode for our 17 viewers.
Absolutely. Steve, as I promised, and y'all out there, I brought on my stripper. Now, this is a beautiful cane stripper made by Mr. Bobby in Sneeds, Florida.
Yeah.
And, she'll latch onto that pole and just slide right down. You know, those dry leaves are 180 degrees from one another. So with her tip here, her stainless steel head, it gets both sides.
That is a beautiful stripper.
So like if you're working with a machete, this does twice the work with the same stroke, you know. So she's a beautiful, got an oak handle. Woo, you love to put your hands on her. What were y'all thinking out there? Where's your mind at?
I'm glad
Steve,
you brought
it. Would you like to put your hands on this
stripper? I would like to caress it.
Woo, it just fits your hands.
Yeah, just that
See,
nice.
See, kids, you work in the cane field, you get to work with strippers.
Yeah, nice and solid is what I like. And I'm glad you brought her in, Doug, because I know a lot of our viewers tune in to see this stripper, and we'd be much remiss had we neglected to bring her in today.
That
is awesome.
There
a nice stripper. Hey, we promise we deliver on this podcast every time. So,
well, Steve, I saw something in the news this week that kind of piqued my interest.
I try not to watch the news.
Well, I read it. I did not watch it, in all fairness.
All right. That's
it. But you being a wildlife biologist, I thought you would be interested in this story here I read in the news here. From the AP.
We know it's true.
From the AP, man found with live turtle concealed in his britches by TSA at New Jersey Airport.
Good almighty. Concealed in his britches.
In his britches.
Ooh.
A Pennsylvania man who was going through security.
I wouldn't have guessed Pennsylvania, but go ahead. Middle Pennsylvania.
Well, we haven't gotten to where exactly he's from in Pennsylvania. He was going through security at a New Jersey airport and was found to have a live turtle concealed in his drawers, according to the Federal Transportation Security Administration. The turtle was detected Friday after a body scanner alarm went off at Newark Liberty International Airport. So they got a scanner now that will detect a varmint.
It'll pick up an animal, a heartbeat.
Right, so like, you know, Ellie Mae and the Beverly Hillbillies walk around with her varmints. Y'all can't do that.
You can't go through.
They got scanners for that.
Wow, now, TSA with a varmint. Okay.
A TSA officer then conducted a pat down on the East Stroudsburg man, wherever that is, and determined there was something concealed in the groin area of his britches.
Oh my goodness. Man.
When questioned further, the man reached into his pants and pulled out let me whoop this out.
right. Excuse me while I whip this out.
And pulled out the turtle, Steve, which was about 5 inches long.
Interesting.
And wrapped in a small blue towel, he said it was the red ear slider turtle, not to be confused with the purple-headed helmet turtle.
Yeah, easily to mix that up.
A species that is popular as a pet.
Good gracious.
The man, whose name was not released, was escorted from the checkpoint area by Port Authority police and ended up missing his flight. The turtle was confiscated. It's not clear if the turtle was the man's pet or why he had it in his britches. So Thomas Carter of TSA's Federal Security Director for New Jersey said, we have seen travelers try to conceal knives and weapons and other things, but I believe it's the first time we've come across someone concealing a live animal down their pants. So I would say Mr. Carter needs to get out a little bit more if he's never met anybody with a live animal in their britches. So.
You know, we like to focus on Florida man, but hats off, Pennsylvania man. That was pretty good.
It's a good thing it wasn't a snapping turtle.
Woo! That would have worked him over, man.
What's the matter with you, boy? You got ants in your pants? No, ma'am, a snapping turtle.
A snapping turtle in my pants, man. See, now that, like I say, that's pretty good. Pennsylvania man coming through.
Yeah.
That's Florida man level work right there.
So I thought you'd be interested in that.
I appreciate
Steve.
That. Yeah.
I thought you would like that story. And
I tell you what else this probably, you know, symbolizes right here. We got that new administration in there. people ain't slipping through there no more with these live varmints in their britches. Ain't no telling how many, you know, how many had come through that line up
Steve,
to this point.
You have flown together probably with people with
oh,
live
yeah.
animals
all the
in
time,
their britches.
All the time. Yeah. All the time. Man.
But that makes me thinking about technology and worried about our listeners. I have been hearing and reading about skimmers in gas pumps
at
checkout registers. So in the next podcast, I have got my hands on a skimmer, and I'm going to bring it in, and we will talk about that in the next
That's going to be real. I was wondering, I'll admit I'm not the most high-tech guy, but I've been wondering, how do they do that skimming when, you know, you stick your card in there at
right,
the pump,
right,
and your bank account's empty. And so, yeah, them skimmers.
It is kind of a mystery, but we will clear things up on the next podcast.
Always something. Not only is it going to be entertaining, but you're going to learn a lot.
That's right.
So every time. All right, hey, another episode coming up here, and we sure hope y'all enjoy it. Palm and Pine Podcast.
And all right, Palm and Pine Podcast. folks, we're headed on a field trip.
Yep, road trip today.
Doug and I are hot on the trail of a cold case, and it's Junior Kelly. And Doug and I actually first heard about this from Suwannee River Unsolved, which is a nonprofit organization, kind of a, as we learned, victim advocacy.
Led by Mr. Jason Futch.
Jason Futch.
Right.
Probably had a long-lost cousin of ours, as it turned out, very long, but we got a bunch of Futches in our background.
But not lost. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But so anyway, the case is Junior Kelly. He's, murder.
It was 2008.
November 19th, 2008, mm-hmm. He was discovered.
Right.
And he had been, the interesting thing is he had been robbed several times, I guess, the year prior.
Right, throughout 2007, he'd been robbed a lot and complained about it and had mm-hmm. finally, he was frustrated with the local authorities and their efforts to subdue the robbers. And he wrote a letter to the local paper that got published, ironically, 3 months before his demise.
Gosh. So he had written an op-ed?
Yeah, he had mm-hmm. written like a letter to the editor and was kind of critical of local law enforcement in the letter.
Right.
And that was peculiar, you know. And he was unmarried and lived alone. And nobody knew of any relatives that he had until we went to this meeting, this cold case meeting that Jason Futch put on. And someone claiming to be his first cousin showed up. Mr. Sid Roberts, and he agreed to talk to us, and we're going to go talk to him today and hopefully have him on the podcast and talk all about this this tragic event that occurred for his first cousin. Now, his first cousin was a pretty big to-do rancher in the area, very mm-hmm. successful farmer, and had been having trouble with theft for a while out there where he lives.
I think they said he had even just recently had sold a bunch of cattle, had some cash on hand.
That's going to be interesting to learn about because in those days you would have taken them to the market in Gainesville, and I think mm-hmm. you would have gotten a check in the mail.
Right.
So I don't think you would have come home with a bag of cash. So mm-hmm. there's stuff to be learned, and so mm-hmm. hopefully we're going to find out about it.
Yeah. Well, either way, Doug and I spoke briefly with Mr. Sid there at the meeting that night, and whether he brings us any good clues or details on the case. Either way, he was a very colorful guy. regardless, you know, of what we get as far as true crime, he'll be an interesting fellow.
We should tell our viewers there is a $15,000 reward for tips on this case. You reported to the Gilchrist County Sheriff's Department.
Yep. If you have a tip, you know something about it.
Now, if you get that tip through this podcast, obviously,
we get the finders.
Right, obviously. We need to work something out now.
Your old,
that's
old Great Dane.
Oh, wow. So are we good?
We're rolling.
Okay,
we're rolling.
Great.
Yeah, yes, we're good.
We're just talking about his name. You'll have to edit a lot.
Oh, I got to do a lot of editing. Most of all the stuff I mess up, try to fix it all.
So we're here today with Mr. Sid Roberts, and as we told you a little bit about him before, he is related to Junior Kelly. Why don't you just start, Sid? Tell us a little bit about your family background and how you were related to Junior Kelly.
Junior, yeah.
Well, Junior is my first cousin. Mm-hmm. Mom and dad, his mama and daddy, his mama was my daddy's sister.
Okay, all right.
And then they had another sister, Miss Biddy Williams.
Okay.
And they lived in Mayo.
All right.
Junior and I kind of grew up together.
Over in the Bell Area?
Over in the Bell Area,
right,
because
right.
Daddy was a highway patrolman. This over here was part of his district, you know.
Okay.
At one time, he was stationed in Cross City.
Okay.
And so for me to go to the farm, it was nothing for him to, okay, I'll put you in the patrol car, drive you over there, drop you off and on a Friday and come back along Sunday afternoon, pick you back up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of grew up on a farm. I'd rather been on a farm than any place else.
Right. Okay. So you.
So.
And, I'm sorry.
So we kind of grew up together and learned each other, you know, pretty well. And it kind of, when I went off to in the military and came back, well, I decided I'd come back to the farm.
Okay.
So Daddy had some land over here, and I said, well, I'm going to go over there. He has some cows. And I said, I'll get some more cows, and then we'll raise them up. And we did. We had a pretty good-sized herd. Junior and I, we got along real good and everything. Mm-hmm. Except he wouldn't hire me because he doesn't want family to know what's going on, you know. He said, it's that typical family, you know. Brother don't want the other brother to know what he's doing, you know, and stuff like that.
Right.
Now, we don't have that in our family.
Now, how did he achieve never being married? You would think he would have been a catch
mama,
back in those days.
His mom was against being to get married.
Yeah, what mama is
his mama didn't even want me to get married to Aunt East, and that was my first wife, and I knew her from the sixth grade.
Okay. Well, let's fast forward, if we can, to that, to 2007, and Junior was having a lot of trouble that year. Tell us about what was going on in 2007.
In 2007, he's having a lot of break-ins and everything, and part of it was even from his own help.
Right.
And
well, they would know. Yeah.
He knew who was doing it, and that's the reason he never prosecuted anybody.
So he had some folks helping him, working for him.
Yeah. And they'd steal his boaters off conveyors and stuff like that, you know. There was a Langford boy that did that. And then another boy was there. He, I may have told you the thing. They tried to break in the back door. They got the extension cord and the saw, and it was about, from me to you, short. They couldn't get it right in the door. They were going to, I guess, cut a hole in the door and go through it.
Yeah.
One time they did get through there, and the old safe that's over there on the farm, as far as I know, my son still got it in the barn.
Mm-hmm.
And they got in there. They had hammers and screwdrivers and pry bars and everything trying to get into the safe.
So Junior Kelly would keep a lot of cash on him.
Oh yeah, because he had tobacco help and everything.
Okay.
So
he'd
pay him in
so
cash.
So the $5,000 that was stolen, that was at one time, you think? That's what they claimed in the meeting that we went to.
They had been all kinds of money stole and
no kidding. They were growing tobacco at the time?
He'd quit a year or so before then, but he still messed with cattle and still had his farm help, and he paid his farm help off in cash.
Okay. So it was a frustrating time, 2007, and he had reported a lot of these break-ins.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Especially the big ones, to the sheriff's department, and they'd come out there and they'd fingerprint.
Right.
And if you've seen some of their fingerprinting done, I could get more fingerprints off of that cooker there than they were getting off of.
Right.
I mean, it has more. It looks like they painted the trim black.
Right.
And it seemed like that from that letter he wrote to the paper. He was getting frustrated.
He was very frustrated.
Yes.
But he wouldn't.
So did you live near Junior at this time when all this happened? Were you living in the same area?
I don't know if you can see it. I tell you.
Yeah.
You know where his house is at?
Okay.
Okay. When you had come out his driveway and turn right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're going to come down and get to 342.
Mm-hmm.
you're going to turn on 342 and come up three quarters of a mile, and my old farmhouse is right there on the.
Okay. So you were right in the neighborhood, basically.
Oh, yeah. That's the reason I was setting up a security thing that in the top of his barn, because it would, I could get it from, I looked and looked and looked trying to get signals. Mm-hmm. And out of that back of that barn, I could put my transponder there, and I could send a signal to the house. Mm-hmm. And
did you ever see anybody that wasn't supposed to be there?
No, you jumped ahead of the story.
Oh.
I had a transponder in.
Okay.
And he had an old barn that was looking right at, it's tore down now, but it looked right at his carport out there. I was putting the camera up in the top of that thing to look at that carport.
Right.
I looked around and there's Junior standing looking at me. What are you doing? I said, I'm putting the camera in. I said, I don't want nobody to watch me while I'm taking a piss.
Okay. Understand.
like when you, I mean, I'm in the same stage now. When you stand up, you got to pee.
Yeah.
It gives the old man syndrome, as they call it. But when he got up out of that truck, he took a leak there. I mean, it didn't matter where in the yard he was at, or how many people around. Everybody else, he'd stand at the door and he'd pee.
That's what God intended.
But I told him, I said, I put the camera on there. He said, I don't want that. Take it down.
Yeah.
So I took it down. I didn't say nothing about the transponder. I said, I'll slip in here and do it again another time.
Yeah.
Well, I was out there working and everything, and I said, you know, he's gone. He's supposed to be at Mildred already. I'm going to go and, darn it, if he didn't catch me again.
Trying to rig up the cameras, yeah.
So finally I got him to the point that I could put driveway alerts in.
Okay.
They got them from Harbor Freight.
So that's like a bell that rings when somebody drives in.
Yeah, infrared beam.
Right, okay.
And it actually, what it does, it picks up the heat source.
Okay, yeah.
So it'd go off on a body or on a car or a dog or, if you pointed it down low, that dog went through, it'd go off.
Okay.
But I had them up. So when you walked in his garage, you drive the vehicle in here, and it was a big one car garage.
Right.
Had a freezer sitting over here. So right behind that freezer is where I put that. So we'd look at his truck all the way across. If his truck wasn't there, or he parked it out, you know, outside here and went in, then anybody that came in still he'd be recognized, because he never locked the door when he was up. Away. He'd be laying in this lounge chair, and if that thing went off or somebody beat at the door, come on in, the door's open.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
So they come in. He didn't want to get up because he hurt like I do with the knees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So got that one in there. So I put one down in the hall after you said somebody got in and took the coin thing. Well, I figured out they come through the slide glass door. Because he didn't have the bar on it.
Right, right.
So I put the bar on it and did that. So I put one right at the end of the hallway. It looked down all the way down the hallway towards the living room.
Okay.
So when you come out of the family room or broke the living room, you were in that beam.
Okay.
You couldn't even get to the bathroom or the bedroom's
door
without being picked up. So I had that all set up and had the speaker at the head of his bed. That way, you know, he'd hear it. I don't know how he got turned off, but when I was able to get into there, it was off.
And this was after the homicide?
After the homicide.
Okay, it was turned off.
Mildred, when she was doing a lot of, come over and clean the house, she would turn it off.
Now, was Junior the kind of guy that would have a handgun nearby, or no?
No. He's in the bedroom.
Right, okay.
He used to carry it around with him when he had the bar.
Okay.
And he got in the bar situation. That's another whole total story of watermelons.
Okay.
Instead of the guy paying him money, he gave him a bar.
Okay. So, you were taking an active role then in this whole time,
yeah,
trying to help. And did you have inklings or ideas? I know you mentioned some of his employees or workers there, but were there other people in the community that might have known about his? Because he's kind of vulnerable by himself, older man.
He talked about, you know, we'll back up to a year. Mm-hmm. He's always talking about, well, I'm going to go sell cows, you know. Well, like I said at the meeting the other night, he's a typical old farmer. Mm-hmm. He was always having, you know, $5,000-$7,000 on him back when $500 bills even got taken off the treasure.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, all those old farmers over there.
But the cattle sale they talked about that happened not long before the homicide, was that, what kind of sale were we talking about? Was it like 100 head or 50?
I don't remember how many. It was a truckload.
Oh, okay. And they would take them to Gainesville during that time, or?
I'm thinking that was an independent buyer.
So he might have gotten cash for that sale.
He got a check.
He got a check, okay.
He gave the check to Mildred.
Okay.
And Mildred was going to deposit it in the into the Ocala National Bank.
Okay.
And
Mildred was his girlfriend at the time. Is that the best way to put it?
That's okay. His girlfriend.
But they were probably pretty close if she was handling a check for him.
Oh yes, they were very close.
Right, right.
They were very
right,
close.
Right.
I don't know if they were intimate or not. You know, they were just very close.
Well, tell us about the time of the murder, November 2008. You know, what was going on at that time? How did that hit you? What was the immediate reaction?
I got a call and said, you need to go to Junior's.
Okay.
I said, okay.
All right.
So I didn't get any, I just went forward. He said, I don't know. I got the message. You need to go to Junior's. So I went in Junior's and cut into the driveway that's there between the barns and everything. And Larry Roberts come out and he said, Junior was killed. I said, what? He said, Junior was killed last night. Okay, so Larry took off. I went on in there. Did some talking to the deputies and everything, and the sheriff, can't think of his name.
Sheriff at the time, David Turner, was there?
Turner, yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I said, Eric, I can think of, I won't say what I was thinking.
Feel free to speak freely on the Palm and Pine podcast.
That little roly-poly.
There's been a lot of Turner sheriffs in these parts.
Yeah. So I thought I was talking to David and everything, and I kept watching people going in and out of that house.
Right.
And I said, why is everybody going in there? Well, we got a homicide scene in there. Junior got killed, beat up and shot.
Oh.
I said, well, where's Jerry? She's in there on the couch, and we're trying to get her to open the safe. And I said, what for? Well, that's probably what they were trying to do, is get into that safe. Well, later on, I have to jump later on, mm-hmm, when okay. I was able to get in there, which was probably a month later, because they wouldn't release it, got in there, they ain't a mark on that safe.
Okay.
So nobody tried to get into that safe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody speculated that he got beat up and shot due to the fact that he would give a combination to the safe. I don't know that. For firsthand, I have
okay.
no idea.
Okay.
I did know the combination.
Right. Well, did the sheriff's department have any suspects at first? Like, were there workers at that moment around him?
I was a suspect.
You were.
Because
okay.
Larry Roberts told him that I could benefit from Junior's death.
Now, who is Larry Roberts?
Larry Roberts is our second cousin.
Is your second cousin? Okay.
Or, you know,
now, was that true, second, that third, you would have benefited? Is that true in any way?
If he would have died before Daddy died,
okay,
I could have benefited from
it. Yeah,
because Daddy was the only close relative that Junior had at that time. So when Daddy was on his deathbed for about 6 months, and I had just visited my father the following week, the previous week on a Wednesday, basically Wednesday week, and I met him at lunchtime, because I was working with North Florida, and Joe, I asked him if I could go by there if I was closing. He said, yeah. So I always went by and checked on Daddy to see how things were, even though he was in Ayers.
Okay.
And if I wanted a benefit, then it would have been a thing to just take and hold Daddy's nose or something like that.
Wait that he's passed.
He passed.
Right.
You know, but no, Junior would have to pass before Daddy.
How did you hear about the meeting where we met you? Did they reach out to you?
Facebook.
Okay.
No.
Did they have any other suspects at the time?
Anthony Lamb.
Okay.
Because he had blood on the vehicle, and that was from the deer he shot. And nobody would go look.
They tested it and everything?
They finally ended up testing it. I said, I went out there and looked where Anthony had said he killed the deer and found blood on the ground.
Right.
Now, so I went and looked at that. I went and looked at the...
So was Mr. Lamb an employee of... or just
Junior's.
A friend? Junior was an employee of
Daddy.
Okay.
E.J. Lamb and Anthony was his employees.
Okay.
Now, at that time, obviously they're leaning on you a little bit. Well, were you at the same time kind of thinking in your head, well, hey, here's three other people to look at? I mean, did you have any ideas like that at the time?
What I was saying to FDLE, it was kind of like it didn't make any difference. They were still looking at me because of what Larry said. I could benefit from it.
Right.
Until I got down, I was in Alachua, and I sat down and I ran through the bit. Well, Daddy died the week before. If I wanted to, then let's get rid of Junior before then, and then I would have had the whole shit, all the whole shit kabang, basically. Because my brother and my sister, my brother, he was in Bacon. My sister was at ridden to the house because she had a big hernia out here like so, and she couldn't do anything. And so it was just a situation that you felt like you was talking to that tree right there, expecting to be moved in the morning.
Right. Well, now, if you were a suspect, they must have came and searched through your stuff real good. Did they? Or your home?
No,
look you over?
They kept questioning me. They kept looking at my shoes.
Looking at your shoes.
I'll bring every shoe I got, or you can come to the house.
Right.
Now, if I was a smart guy, I said, whatever I did, whatever what I was wearing, I said, you would never find it now. It would be gone.
Right.
So at that time, like 2008, like you know how now a lot of the drug users are using prescription drugs.
Right.
What was kind of going on in the area at that time? Was there much drug use or any of that kind of activity?
There's a lot of drugs that are down there. Yeah, the bad thing is not due. I mean, you had anhydrous tanks. And they would steal anhydrous out of them every cotton picking night.
No kidding.
When I got out of it, they were still trying to siphon what was in the bottom of the tank.
Yeah, did Junior have trouble with that kind of theft?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. Huh.
He had $1 million worth of liability insurance that he had to get when he was trying to put fuel tanks in. And underneath that, I was able to get a big tank at that time.
Okay.
So that way a semi-truck could just come in and dump it. And he said, I don't want to deal with that. I said, well, I'll stop it, Junior. I will get it stopped real quick.
Okay.
Because I went out there and built a two perimeter fences around it.
Oh, okay, that stopped it.
Yeah, German Shepherds and Dobermans and Bulldogs were down in there. You wouldn't have been able to walk in there.
A little different than these dogs here.
I worked with the military dogs. You teach that dog to stay inside of a fence, and you cut the fence chair down and move it, that dog will still stay inside that imaginary fence.
So then things started to die down, and after the event in late 2008.
Yeah, I mean,
they kind of gave up. You think
the video thing, you know, when they put the cameras in and all that stuff got messed up and everything. You know, the tape supposedly got taken out. I don't know if there was a tape ever even put in it.
Okay.
But
so they pulled that up after the burglaries, trying to.
But he had already went down into Billy Cannon's and had sat in that party they were having a little eat out and this and that. And he'd already talked about it to Billy Cannon. He told me about it. He said, well, Junior come down and told us about the camera that was put in the living room. So they know where the camera was at.
Okay, okay, I mean, right,
right. Anybody in the party would have known.
Right, right,
I didn't go to those kind of parties, so I don't know who was there.
Right. And they probably knew he wasn't the kind of guy to have a handgun near him.
Right.
So I feel like certainly somebody probably knew him.
Right.
Knew there was money there, were familiar with him.
Bull was one of the... that was one of Mildred's sons.
Okay, that's his nickname, Bull?
Bull.
Okay.
Junior had worked with the sheriff department and everything. Bull was incarcerated, and Junior finally got him moved to Florida.
Okay, what's Bull's real name? Do you know?
No, it's Culpepper on the last of it.
Okay, okay.
I'll come up with it.
Okay, but he was around at the time, you think?
He was working for Junior at the time. He was a welder for Junior at the time.
Oh, okay.
He'd fix some things, okay. You know, this and that. He had a brother. I'm trying to think his name. He worked for him.
Okay, so Sheriff's Department surely interviewed these guys.
I'm sure. Okay. They must have. If they didn't, I don't know why they didn't.
Okay.
All right. So he was dealing with him.
Okay.
So there was, you know, you could put, you say, EJ, Anthony, Larry, I guess you could include myself, Bull, it was kind of around there all the time.
Okay.
So that was, you know, just like they wanted to know why certain fingerprints were in the house, you know, at certain places.
Right.
Well, Junior's always having things moved, so.
They were helping him.
They were going in there, and I mean, you walk in, you stand at the door, you know, you got your hand on the door, this and that. I said, so, you know, when they presented me with that kind of evidence at Alachua, I told him, you know, I said, well, you know, the moving.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was Bull incarcerated for? Do you know? Do you remember?
No, I can't right
now. Okay.
I know that it was a felon.
Okay.
And he just slipped my mind.
Probably had to do with drugs or robbery. You know how things are, huh?
Yeah.
Huh. Who knows?
I just cannot reward.
Well, sounds like there were a lot of suspects, and...
they would be.
Maybe didn't put pressure on the right one, or maybe there was no one that would talk or something.
It just kept growing.
Right.
Because then after looking at the footprints that day that it happened, I was walking around the outside, but wouldn't let me go inside.
Right.
So I walked around the outside.
Okay.
And looking and everything, and looked around the window and looked at the other flower beds and found tracks and found the car tracks. And I asked them about it. They said, well, show them to us. So I showed them what I found. I showed them the footprints of the boots that had been there.
Okay.
And I showed them the bit of where the tires come across there. And you know how you get salamander beds, molehill or ant bed or something like that. It's got a little sand there, even though the dude fell on it, you know, it's attackable ground. I mean, it's just going to, you're going to go across there with a wet tire, you're going to pick up the sand that's there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to be moved. So the, I just showed them where there was two different vehicles, two different sized vehicles that come across that yard. And they went right out between two big old oak trees. One went south, one went north.
Huh. Huh.
Now, I don't know who it was or whatever. The tire tracks were not good enough, you know, to make out a tread.
Right.
You just, so they went to question and said, well, Junior always rode around that side of the house. I said, yeah, he got out, he come out of the carport in the mornings. He went around, he had a water tank that was back here in the back side of the house. He'd check it, make sure the cows had water. He'd drive away from there, come out the side of the house. And then would either, if we was at the shop, he'd come over to the shop. He didn't want to talk to us. He went on out the driveway, got his paper, and he went down to Sun Springs, and I could almost tell you the name, but he just went by me that quick. But the man owns the property, or did. When you go down to 1E, where the road forks out, the property is right here on the left. He did a lot of mechanical work for Junior.
Okay.
And he'd go down there and talk to him, and I could think of his name.
You think he's still around?
Charles. I'm sure he is.
Okay. Anthony Lamb, he's still around?
No, I haven't seen Anthony in a long time.
What about the Bull Culpepper guy? You think he's...
I think he's incarcerated.
Okay. Okay.
I think he is incarcerated. I'm not sure about that, but I think he... Because he... what I heard, and this is what I heard, that he held up a convenience store with a gun, and I put him back.
Okay, armed robbery. Uh-huh.
So okay. That kind of let me okay now. Uh-huh. Why would Bull start that kind of, if he hadn't already been involved in something else?
Yeah,
something.
You think they've interviewed him since that crime?
Yeah, so I don't know.
You don't know, okay. Mm. So that. Would you remember any other details about the crime that maybe we weren't told at that meeting that we could pass on to our viewers? I thought one thing was peculiar. They said he was shot in the foot. That is peculiar.
Yeah, they told us that it was shot off with a shotgun. And he had a shotgun right beside his bed right here.
Okay.
So, yeah, it could have come down. He was trying to get it. Yeah, it got pointed down, and the trigger went off. Now, it was very peculiar to me that when the crime scene was released and we had a crime scene cleaner uppers come in to clean it, I went back there and looked all around in there. The mattress has got blood on it.
Okay.
And there's no hole in it.
Right.
There's no pellet holes anywhere in the walls, in the ceiling, nowhere. They would have shotgun went off.
Right.
I know that for a fact to this day.
Okay.
They cannot prove to me that the shotgun went off.
Yeah.
So you think the perpetrator shot him in the foot with something else?
Probably with a pistol or something like that.
Okay.
I just, because.
Now, why would they shoot him in the.
That shotgun would put right this far away from your foot.
Right.
And it went off. It'd blow your foot off.
Yes.
But it's going to be a hole in the
bed. Oh, yeah.
Something in the floor. Yeah. The wall was just like.
Yeah.
From my foot to there, mm-hmm. there's about that much room, and there was a dresser. There was nothing in that dresser. There was mm-hmm. The door was here, the closet door was over here. Mm-hmm. There was nothing. There was some blood splatters up on top of the ceiling,
mm-hmm.
On the walls and stuff like that. Like I said, just inside the bathroom, at the toilet, there was more blood.
Oh, but, really? Why do you think they would have shot him in the foot?
I think they were just fighting the gun. Like I said,
they were fighting.
Junior was
okay.
super strong. His upper structure,
okay.
he was strong.
It took a kind of a bold person because they would have known he had that shotgun. It wouldn't have been an easy thing, right?
Right, but he was on that CPAC, see?
Oh, okay.
So now if they come through that window and they cut that off, they can walk right up on top of him. because one night he caught a guy and they come in and he had his pillow, had his billfold underneath his pillow, and they were trying to get his billfold out from it. It was in the pillowcase, and they were trying to get, they fell underneath it, they could feel of it, and they could fight over it. But now, what was done over that?
A previous incident. Yeah. He had. That's pretty bad. They've been. Did they know who did that?
And that's when I put up all of the other stuff.
Right, and they had no idea who was responsible for that.
Who did it?
Man, somebody trying to get your billfold out of your pillow while you're up sleeping on it. Yeah.
And he used to put his billfold right up there in the headboard of his thing, but now somebody knew that he had taken it out and put it in that pillow.
Yes.
Now that comes down to just very few people.
And who would those be?
Yeah, it's got to be.
The ones we've been talking about.
Yeah, would Mildred have known that?
Well, Mildred would have known about it, of course.
Yeah. Okay, is she still around?
As far as I know, she's still out there in her place.
Okay, you think she would talk to us, or she's shy?
I imagine so. Okay.
Who should we talk to next, you think, Sid, on this deal?
Well, Mildred would be a good one to talk to.
Okay.
All right. Because she would still have her first-hand information on it.
Okay, and she'd know all about Bull, though, too, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
That's her son.
Yeah.
And how old is she now, you think?
Well, Junior's 11 years older than I am, so I'd put him to 88, so she's got to be right there in that state. I'm not sure if she's still alive or not.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mildred Culpepper. She lives out there on the, there where Papa's store is. Mm-hmm. You cut across there, you cut back, and you keep riding on and going and going and going. And eventually, the road will start up a little grade and everything. There's an open field here on the right hand side. There's I believe it's a trailer, then her house, and I think it's another trailer there.
Okay.
But that's where she lives out there. And if you don't stop there, you'll eventually get at the end of the road, you have to turn around. Because it's the last time I remember went out that direction.
Okay.
Which was several years ago, I think right after I met Kathy. Is that there was a trailer out there. But I know that she was really devastated.
I would imagine, right,
I mean, that was her lifelong partner, I guess.
And didn't you say your son lived in Junior's house now, or did I misunderstand it? Would he talk to us?
Yeah, Tommy talked to
you. Yeah, it'd be Tommy Roberts. Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Roberts, we give everybody that appears on the podcast a sample of our Pure Cane Syrup, Barlow & Sons Pure Cane Syrup. So, if you don't like it, please pass it on to somebody who would take it.
Okay.
We'd love for you to have that. We just really appreciate you talking to us today, and there's so much to talk about. We'll have to get you on again sometime. It's been very informative.
I have one more thing, Sid. This is on a completely different subject, but Doug and I just enjoyed talking to you. You know that time, and we said, well, if he don't know anything about the case, we just like to talk to him. And done a lot of stuff, you know.
I've done things that really I shouldn't talk about.
We'd like to talk about that. But one question I have for you, just as we close up, is if you could pass on anything. Let's say you're talking to a young person, right, and you want to tell them something that's helped you all your life, you know, something that you've stuck with, a principle or a guiding, you know, idea, what would it be?
Gut feelings.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so we're leaving Mr. Sid's here. Funny thing was, we got our little camp hideout. Turns out Mr. Sid lives right across the river. As the crow flies, no more than probably 3 miles from our hidden camp.
Right.
That was pretty good. But
Next time we'll take the helicopter.
Yeah, we should have done that. Yeah, so we could just drop right over there. So,
Marine anyway. Force too.
Yeah. But Sid talked a lot. What did you think?
He did. Well, I'm keying in on some of those people he talked about. You know, I think the Bull character, that would be a person to talk to. Surely
Bull,
they did.
Yeah.
Is he still incarcerated? You know,
anybody with a nickname like Bull, they go right to the top of the suspect list.
Yeah, that would be a great person to talk to if we could. I'm sure law enforcement has. And then his son, I believe it was a Thomas Roberts, living in the house. Sounds like he would be a friendly guy to talk to. Mildred Culpepper, if she's still alive. And those are the three that come to mind from that. You know,
but
especially the Bull character. I just think that is someone that, from what he said, would be a prime candidate to talk to some more.
Is Bull the one that he mentioned had tried to rob a convenience store?
Yeah, he apparently had been incarcerated before, and as he thought, he speculated, and our apologies to Bull out there if we're wrong, that he was incarcerated now as well. And so here's a person that has maybe committed a crime of robbery or something like that before. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure investigators have thought about this individual and have talked to him already, but...
And I got the feeling Sid wasn't too impressed with the sheriff at the time. It didn't feel like they were doing a lot on the case right now, but I mean, that's probably, you don't know, they could be doing a lot of work on it.
But we did get some more information about him being shot in the foot during the event.
Right.
And it appears to have not been him doing it with his shotgun. And in all fairness, they did say they weren't sure how he got that wound exactly.
Yeah.
I just think that's a little bizarre how someone would shoot him in the foot. Were they trying to get a combination to the safe?
Right.
Were they torturing him? And I just think he had a lot of help out there, a lot more than I thought. He had a pretty big ranch with a lot of help, a lot of cash, selling tobacco, paying people with cash. So it's much more clear to me that it was clearly somebody he knew he had a lot of cash, needed the money, probably a drug problem, probably a psychopath, didn't care about the consequences.
Right.
And there was a struggle, and he got shot. And so, it certainly is one of these helpers or someone that knew him firsthand like that.
It's got to be somebody that was familiar.
Right,
you know,
absolutely.
Even Sid today explained how you get in the house and all that stuff. It had to be somebody, which to me would really tighten down the suspect window. It wasn't just somebody passing through, you know.
No, it was one of his workers, and there was a lot of them, you know.
Yeah.
And he even talked about the neighbor that came through the back on a trail occasionally.
Yeah,
apparently
yeah.
A kid that worked with him some, you know.
Right.
We couldn't get a name on that.
Yeah.
Or if they're still around even, but that would be another person to talk to, I think. But I think certainly this group of people that worked with him.
Right.
And there's some rough characters, you know, because tobacco work is like the hardest of the farm work. If those of you don't know, they harvest it in August, and it's very brutal work around here. And so you'd be a hard-up person, maybe, picking tobacco for Mr. Kelly, and you'd probably have a drug problem and be a little bit crazy already, maybe have committed some crimes, and that's why you're a farmhand. So
that's
where I would look, no further than those people that were working as farmhands at that time.
Yeah. Well, and the good thing I enjoyed Mr. Sid was he liked to talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
we might get
to clam up on us sometimes.
There might be a part one and a part two.
Might be a part one, part two to this. So we're just warning you
episode.
Guys.
Yeah.
To be continued.
All right, but it was good. A beautiful day. He had a beautiful place on the river there, on the Suwannee River, on the Dixie County side. Boy, it was gorgeous.
Absolutely.
So. All good. We didn't immediately solve the case, but we sure enjoyed talking to Sid either way. So
right. Well, maybe you can solve the case for us out there.
Yeah, there might be somebody knows something.
Yeah, so. You know one of these workers, or you know a son or daughter of one of these workers, and they've talked.
Yeah.
And you're ready to come forward and
or anybody named Bull.
Yeah.
Anybody named Bull, Vidalopoli, you know, obviously want to talk to him. So anyway. Good deal.
Well, we're going to get some of that Peruvian coffee. So.
Oh, We'll throw another shameless buy me a coffee plug. Our Peruvian coffee is not cheap, but we're going to go have another cup because we love coffee. So anyway, all right. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back with y'all.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of the Palm and Pine Podcast. This podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered professional advice. The views and opinions expressed by the host or any guest are our own and do not necessarily reflect the views of any affiliates. Our opinions are just that, opinions, and are not legal or medical advice. But in our opinion, avoid lawyers and big pharma at all cost. Copyright 2025, Palm and Pine Podcast. All rights reserved. Please subscribe and share. Also, make sure to check out the video version on YouTube. The video version includes bonus content at the end you'll surely don't want to miss. If you have any ideas for future podcast episodes, or if you would like to be a guest, please reach out. We also ask for you to send pictures or any bonus content, and we'd be pleased to add it to the bonus content portion of an episode. Okay, until next time, keep it Florida, and we'll see you soon.